Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Tap Three Times Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Meadows coming to you live from the hills and valleys and mountains of Western North Carolina, located near the Blue Ridge Parkway. I want to welcome everyone this evening for being on the air here. We got a great show and a great lineup this evening. We've got some really great guests that I'm going to be bringing on here very shortly. As we do each and every week, we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We've actually in several different countries now. I know Norway, the Philippines, the UK, the United States, and even down in South America. So our broadcast is getting out to a number of different locations, and we do appreciate that. Of course, you can listen to us live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's on the East Coast there for those who might not know. And you can always listen to us 24/7, 365 days a year on our podcast at Tap Three Times Blog Talk Radio Show. Before we get cranked up and started, we want to remember our dear friends and listeners who are all going through difficult moments or health concerns or life-changing events. We want to let them know that we are thinking about them and our prayers and our thoughts are your way. We also want to remember the people in those various and extended disaster zones that are out there, the people who went through hurricanes, fires, floods, and even tornadoes around this country and in other countries that might be listening in. We also want to remember those who have been affected by the Las Vegas shooting. I changed up some of my radio show programming to accommodate for that unfortunate event, that tragic time that the people shared and were involved in Las Vegas. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your families as well. We also want to remember our first responders, our LEOs, our law enforcement agents, our security professionals, and military service members. Where Red Fridays is for the military that's deployed out in a number of places. I want you to know that we are absolutely thinking about each and every one of you and those who go in the harm's way. And lastly, we want to think about and remember our fallen, those heroes who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country and our flag. I will ask for a moment of silence or a moment of prayer amongst yourselves to remember those fallen heroes. And we want to welcome and thank everyone for that. And we want to welcome you to the Tap Three Times Radio Show. Again, we come to you every Friday on live radio, and then we have our podcast that you can listen to each and every week. This is our 8th episode that we've done. We've had some great people on, some of the great discussions, great conversations. My name is Dan Meadows. I am the CEO, consultant, and chief instructor for the Tap Three Times group of companies, also for Tango 3 Global. We have our website at tap3x.com, as tap3times.com, also tango3global.com. You can also visit our brand new Facebook page at facebook.com/tap3x radio show. Just kicked it off today. And make sure that you tune in and like and share that with others. Today's show is about new shooters, women with guns. Now, I'm going to introduce my very special guest in just a moment, but I'm going to read the description that I put out here days back about what this show is about. So today we're going to explore women with guns. We want you to join us as we interview three great ladies, Linda, who also happens to be my wife, along with two other great ladies, Becky and Danica, about being women shooters. And we're going to talk about their respective picks for maybe handguns, if they already have a handgun, holsters, maybe a little bit about ammunition and ways that they might be carrying. Also going to talk about how to choose the right gun, again, if they already have, or if they haven't, we're going to discuss that amongst ourselves here today. Going to talk about maybe some of the range shooting, gun range experiences, maybe some of their shooting experiences, classes, and just whatever. Let me ask you, is there anything more dangerous than a woman with a gun? Well, we're going to find out here in just a moment. Ladies, I want to thank you for being here. Linda, Becky, and Danica, how are you all today?
Doing well.
Good, Dan.
Doing well.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that as well. So I do want to kick it off and start it by asking a little bit about yourself, a little about your experience with guns, the history of guns that you might have. So I'll start off. I'll do kind of a round robin type thing. I'll start off with Linda. Linda, if you would, could you tell me a little bit about your history with guns? Who helped get you into maybe the shooting sports?
Well, as I'm from Canada, we didn't have a lot to do with guns apart from hunting. You weren't allowed, as in the States, to have your guns for protection. You could only use them for hunting. And as I was an only child, my father, who wanted a boy, adopted me as a boy. So I grew up going hunting, fishing, everything with him. And I started about 8 years old shooting a .22, and it just progressed from there. I did shoot his shotgun a couple of times, but that was a little bit too much for me, but I liked the .22. I didn't do any hunting. I'm not a hunter per se, not unless I really had to. I had a liking for guns. And it wasn't until I met you, Dan, that I really got into handguns.
So I wonder how you got into handguns meeting me. I wonder how that happened.
Well, I mean, if it's all around you, you eventually get, get brought into it. I didn't have a lot of opportunity with you, with your work and going around a lot, but any chance that we did get out and do some target shooting, and it was always fun for me. And then I was lucky enough to get a beautiful little Ruger, which I absolutely love. Very nice man bought it for me, and it fit my hand good. I like the trigger pull. I like the flash bang with it because it's not really, really big. And I really, really enjoyed going out using that.
That sounds good. I am going to talk more about maybe y'all's personal pick for guns in a bit, but that Ruger is a sweet-looking gun, and I know you picked it. You even though I bought it for you, I guess I'm that man. I think you chose it partially because of its looks. But we'll get into that in a bit. I appreciate your lead in for that. Becky, could you tell me a little bit about any history that you've got with guns and how you kind of got into the shooting sports?
Well, as a child, I remember that my daddy had a .22 rifle, but I don't remember him ever using it, but I knew where it was in the house. However, I married a military officer, and he was very comfortable, of course, with weapons and introduced me to them. So that's kind of my background with weapons.
I see. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about classes and stuff that you've may have got into here very recently as well. So that's great to know. So we're going to talk about, I think, as well, guns in the home, and you knew where those guns were. And I think we'll round after the first round here, we'll talk about guns in the home as you all were growing up as well. So I appreciate that. Becky Danica, tell me a little bit about your history and getting into the shooting sports.
Well, Dan, growing up, I always had brothers that were into shooting and into hunting and things, but I had never even fired the first bullet until I think I fired one bullet, I don't know, 10 years ago, until I moved to Western North Carolina and went through a course to get my concealed carry license. And then that was the second round I had ever fired. So I had absolutely no experience with guns until moving to the mountains. I had lived in a very large city, and in hindsight, I probably needed that there way more than where I live now, because really we just have wildlife and bears on top of the mountain where I live.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I have had discussions with you, and I know Linda has talked about bears over your way, so we'll have to talk about wildlife and protecting ourselves in a greater degree in just a moment. So all of you have talked about, you know, younger years, if you will, or in experiencing with guns itself. So tell me about the guns in the home. I mean, you know, we'll start with Linda again. You all knew where the guns were. You knew that your parents had guns for some of you, but were you able to gain access to it, or did you know better, or what exactly? Tell me a little bit about that. Start with Linda.
My dad kept his guns in the basement, locked up. He was very a real sportsman when it came to anything like that. He took care of everything. No matter when it was or how late it was, when he finished shooting, he would clean his gun. He'd make sure everything was there perfectly. He would lock it up, and that was it. I had no access to guns whatsoever. I knew where they were, but I knew I wasn't to go near any of them. So that was about it. I don't even think that I don't even recall a combination or anything of his safe that he had. So he was pretty protective of us as far as keeping his guns in a safe place.
And I think up in the country of Canada where you're from, they have a more strict law ensuring that the guns maintain a in the safe or locked up type of status. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. They're very strict up there. Like I said before, you don't have handguns per se unless you're a collector, but you don't have them like they do in the States here. You know, carry them, use them. In fact, you wouldn't even want to use a long gun as far as protection. It would be very difficult if you were in some sort of skirmish to prove your innocence. Let's say laws tend to go along the wayside of the criminal, as from the things that I've heard anyway.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity when I was up in Canada and living up there and working up there as well to be a member of the Canadian Firearms Institute, and was allowed to teach arms up in Canada. And yeah, they're very strict about that. And and we'll talk about maybe laws a little bit more in a moment. Becky, can you add anything? I mean, I'm trying to remember as far as guns in your home in the earlier years. Were you able to, I mean, was it pretty well locked down? Were you kind of told not to go around the guns, not to touch the guns? Anything in your past that you could share?
Yes. My daddy did have a .22 rifle. He did keep it behind a door that was padlocked. I don't remember ever touching the gun And I don't remember him telling me not to either, but I just didn't have access to it. It's not something I really thought about. I don't remember much, except I knew he had it. Occasionally he would have it out, and maybe he was cleaning it. I don't know. I don't have a lot of memories about it. I know he had the gun.
Outstanding. I appreciate that. Danica, anything in the early history of you and the home? And you said brothers and like that, but what kind of access, if any, were you able to have with the guns, or were you pretty much told not to touch them as well?
Well, my father and my brothers, they had guns, you know, for hunting and things, but they were put up, and we were pretty much told, you know, don't touch the guns, and, you know, they were sort of locked up. And I don't really remember having any interest in wanting to do anything with the guns, but I had no access anyway. You know, like Becky said, occasionally I would see my father cleaning a gun or something like that, but really there just wasn't any access or any kind of training for me. Not that I remember being interested at the time anyway.
So let me ask the three of you, and again, I'll start back with Linda, about guns in the home in present day time. I mean, you all have children. I know Linda has grandchildren within your family structure, or I'm not sure. Becky, I don't think I've ever asked. Do you have children?
We have two, but they're grown and not living with us right now.
I understand. So as they were growing up and and to present day now, I mean, what is different from maybe the time that you all were small and they had guns in the house to more present day? And with your children growing up, guns in the house. I know Linda has one grandchild. She has another one that her son is expecting, or son and his wife are expecting in the near future. So what's the difference right now with gun safety and guns in the home versus maybe, you know, a few years back? Linda?
Right now, it's just you and I. So, you know, we have them strategically placed. We know where they are. This home is very gun safety savvy. It's a pleasure, actually, to know that you're sitting here, and at any moment, no matter what would happen, you could take care of yourself, because that's how things are set up in our home. With not having any children around, it makes it a little bit easier. But even when my children were small, when I was living in Canada, there was nothing to worry about as far as guns with children were concerned, because they, you know, we didn't have them. So, but I know that, just like I said before, it's very comforting to know that if you need to get to a gun, the plan is, and it's been done, and we've done it, we've gone over, we know where it is, we know what we have to do, and I think everyone should go with that mindset in their homes.
Very good, and I appreciate that. Becky, what could you add to that, please?
We really did not bring guns into our home until our kids were over 18 years old, and our daughter started actively shooting way before I did. She went to a university here in the mountains and had a good friend in her apartment building who had some police training, was on the force, and he taught her to shoot. She loved it. And so that kind of helped me get interested also. Though my husband, you know, had a lot of familiarity, having served in the military. And so now that, you know, we're the only ones living in the home, like you and Linda, we have, I would say, free access to the weapons that we have in the home, and we don't worry so much about them being locked up.
Understood. Did I remember in a conversation that you said your daughter liked the Glock? Was that a conversation I had with you?
She does, and her boyfriend bought her one last year for Christmas, and she was just thrilled. That was her new toy, and he had it dipped so it's purple, her favorite color. So she just loves it.
Color is good on a lot of different kind of guns and like that. So I appreciate that, Becky. Danica, what can you add to that as well?
Well, in our home, pretty much most everything is put up. We're responsible. We have a 14-year-old in the home, so mm-hmm. we're always mindful of having teenagers in the house and being responsible with the guns. For me, it's been very comforting, like Linda said, to know that you can protect yourself and to feel comfortable. My husband has to travel some for work, so when I am there alone, I think that's what prompted me to get some gun training. I think it was just a false sense of security living in a city with people next door that you think you're safe. When you go to the mountain, I'm probably much more safe there. But that's when I was prompted. I felt like I wanted to get some training and to know what I was doing and to feel comfortable. And we actually plan to have some training for our daughter as well. She's interested.
Outstanding. And does she have a preference with the type of gun that she wants to try to start off with or to shoot?
Well, she thinks that she would like to try my handgun, probably because it's pretty. But we also have a 2022, which I think would probably be an easier start for her. She is pretty proficient with her little air rifle. She has an air rifle, and she was very good with that. So I'm trying to tell her the 22 would be more similar and then maybe start that direction. But no, she wants to shoot the pretty handgun. So.
No, and is that the handgun that I may have seen at a gun range not long ago?
Yes, it's the pretty SIG 238. Stainless steel with rosewood handles.
It is that. It is a very nice gun as well. So we'll talk about some pretty stuff. I'm going to go to a quick break. It's going to be about a minute out. So, ladies, if you'll stand by, and I'll talk to you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to the Tap Three Times Radio Show. This is Dan coming to you live from the studios of the Tap Three Times Group of Companies located over in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Have a great show this evening. We have new shooters, women with guns, although they may have been shooting for a while, then not necessarily incredibly new with that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. I've got Linda, Becky, and Danica with us this evening. And we're going to talk a little bit more. Ladies, appreciate you coming to me back after the break. And we'll kick back in the gear here. So let me ask you, Linda, you talked about your new gun a little bit ago. Can you tell me a little bit about it and why you chose that particular gun?
Okay. It's a beautiful little cryptid blue Ruger. And it's 9mm. I liked it because when I first held it, I have small hands, and when I first held it in my hand, it fit perfectly. I had tried a lot of your guns, which were all too big, and they were, you know, it just didn't fit well. The trigger pull on it is very easy. You could sneeze on it, and it would go off. It's so nice. You just have to touch it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think maybe the first reason was the color, because it's so pretty. But I know you're not supposed to do, but anyway, after I realized that it fit my hands, that was the main seller on that.
Now that was the that's the Ruger LC9 that I got for you, and LC9S, and it is a cryptic blue. It's a beautiful little gun. You know, when we're talking about, you know, pretty guns and stuff like that, they're great. I mean, you know, if you wiped away the paint, if you wiped away the cosmetics of the gun, stuff like that, it's going to be, you know, like any other. But feeling good about it is part of the reason that, you know, a lot of people, women included, men included, will carry a gun because of the aesthetics of the gun, the look of the gun as well. Now, Becky, have you, I think you're on a search for a gun at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct. I am still looking for one that I can use for concealed carry.
Understood. So part of it, and I think, and I may have shared it with all of you at some point in time, you know, picking the right gun, I use the feel, felt, and found method. If it feels good in your hand, that's probably the right gun for you, the gun that you'll probably choose to be a gun or become part of your family is one reason. The felt is, you know, how did it feel in the hand, of course, but how did it feel when you took it to the gun range if you were able to shoot it? And a lot of gun ranges around here, at least in Western North Carolina, you can go shoot a variety of different handguns, including ones like Danica that she has. You can go and shoot a variety of them. And maybe that will help you choose the right gun. So once you've felt the recoil of the gun, once you have felt, you know, the grip and the size of the gun, that may be another factor. And then, you know, what's great about nowadays versus many years ago when we were trying to pick guns for ourselves is that you can do a lot of research. You can do research online. You can look up the specifications for a gun, what it shoots, you know, the muzzle velocity of the gun, how much recoil it's got, how much kinetic energy or muzzle velocity that it has. It's just a lot of different things to be more informed. And I know many, many women who you know, will choose a gun for that. Is it going to do what they want it to do? A lot of times we'll pick guns, and it's much cheaper as well. We'll get a little 22 handgun and practice on our marksmanship skills. But you need to pick the right gun that you're going to use if you're into concealed carry. And I believe that all three of you ladies are, or you're working towards that end, to have your concealed carry permit, that you choose the right gun. Now, have you got any ideas, Becky, about what may be the right gun for you? You're just kind of on the search.
I still really am searching. I've just not tried that many. I'm comfortable with one that we have in our home, but it's not one I could use for concealed carry. So I need some more time.
Understood. So it is a search. It's a personal decision that needs to be made. And I tell, and you know, I know it's you know, I think there's a news station, or not a news station, but a news program on the Fox Network, and it's called Outnumbered. So I kind of do feel outnumbered at this time, but with all the great ladies that are on here. But I tell men, if I could just bring men into this mix just for a moment, I tell men not to pick the guns for their girlfriends, their wives, or significant others. Don't you pick it for them. Let them pick the gun for themselves. Now, I did buy the gun that I got for Linda. I bought it for her as a present. But, you know, Linda, you chose that gun for yourself, did you not?
Yes, I had already had my eye on it. And every time we went into the gun store, can I try this one? Can I try this one? So I knew that was the one for me. I just didn't want to try any others after that. That was it. It was coming home with me.
It was a great decision, I'm sure on that. And I know, Becky, that when you find the right one, you'll know it. You'll absolutely know that as well. Danica, so tell me about the search for your gun and how you arrived at it and the type of gun that you've got.
Well, originally I had a different gun. I had a Walther PK380 because I had gone to a gun show. In my mind at the time, I think I thought that I needed to have a gun in order to go take a gun concealed carry class. I didn't realize that I could just take my time and try different guns and, like you said, see what's comfortable, what fits my hands. So I bought the Walther PK380 because it had little finger grooves. But in hindsight, I sort of realized it was too big for what I needed. It was going to be too big for concealed carry. So I pretty quickly turned it around and then went with my SIG 238 that I'm very happy with. It seems to fit well in my hand. I'm very accurate with it. Well, relatively, being new, I'm pretty accurate with it. But I think anything bigger wouldn't be very concealable. So I'm very happy with the choice on that. I know that probably a 9mm might be another option in the future if I find one that I feel like I'm comfortable with and that I can actually have, if I can actually hit anything with it. But so far it's the SIG 238.
I understand. Now, all of you have had the occasion to go to ranges, and some of you may have even been to outdoor gun ranges or have shot outdoors, or you might even be able to shoot on your own property. So if I can, I'll start back with Linda. What's your preference? Do you like indoor ranges better or outdoor ranges better, and why?
I haven't had a lot of experience outdoor, not out of range anyway. There are certain ranges, indoor ranges, I don't really like. I like ones where they're spacious. You don't have to worry about having long guns on the premise with you. They're in another area. It tends to get really noisy when they bring in the big boomers. Outdoors, I haven't had a lot of experience with it. Only when I was younger, I used to shoot out my bedroom window with my father, and we'd have bottles lined up on the fence way out because there weren't a lot of houses around us. And in the wintertime, just right out the bedroom window, it was wonderful.
Okay, well, that's news to me. I probably never heard that particular story, but you and I'll have to talk about that one a bit more. But we don't do that where we live at right now, do we?
No.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. So, Becky, what kind of ranges have you shot on?
I have only shot at indoor ranges. We are in a neighborhood where neighbors are very close. We hope to have property someday where we can shoot on our own property outside, but it just would not be a safe thing to do where we are right now. So I've shot at the indoor ranges, a couple in the local area, and hoping to find one like Linda has talked about where they don't use the big guns because it does get quite loud. And being a musician also, I'm sensitive about my ears, and I want to keep them healthy and be able to hear well, for years. So, anyways, ear protection is really important.
Absolutely. And there's our, over here in Western North Carolina, we do have a lot of great ranges here, but some ranges, and not to disparage anybody, but some ranges that you can only, you have maybe one large shooting range area. And you're absolutely right, ladies. You do have long guns that are shooting beside you. Some people like to open up and put a variety of rounds downrange repetitively, very quickly, downrange very, and so trying to hear, trying to focus, trying to concentrate on your shooting at that particular time does make it difficult from time to time. So Becky, I'll be able to, after the show, kind of maybe give you some direction on maybe where to go shoot in that respect. Danica, tell me about some of your indoor outdoor shooting experiences. What do you like better, indoor, outdoor, or on your own property, or what exactly?
Well, I've not really had an opportunity to go to an outdoor range yet. I would like to try that next. I've mostly been to indoor ranges. And like Linda said, I think they can very much vary. Some are smokier and have, you know, less ventilation, and some are better on that. So I've really enjoyed, I don't know if I'm supposed to say the name of where I'm really liking right now.
Yeah,
I love
ahead.
To go to
That's
Bear
fine.
Arms down in Brevard. Yeah. I love Bear Arms. The guys are super nice and welcoming there. I don't feel uncomfortable being a female walking in on my own to go shoot there. They're just very, very nice guys. And I like that there's fans. It's not too smoky. And if you go in the middle of the day, it's not as crowded. So I feel like it's easier because you don't have all the noise factor. As outdoor shooting, I'm also in a neighborhood, but we have a bit of property. So I have shot the occasional tree at the very end of our property. But we don't really do that very often. We don't want to frighten the neighbors, even though see the nearest neighbor where I am. But I prefer to either go to an indoor or an outdoor range and do that.
Yeah. You have to be, and I'm sure you are, very careful when you shoot outdoors. Know what your backstop is. Know the directions. All of those are key factors in shooting
yeah.
outdoors. And I'm sure all of you, you know, would take that into consideration when you go out. Now, Linda, and I'll go around again. What kind of firearms classes have you had the occasion to take, whether it was one class or a number of different classes that you have taken, you know, handgun, long gun, like rifle, shotgun, anything along that line? Then I'll go to Becky and Danica as well.
Well, when we moved down to North Carolina from Canada in 2005, I took a handgun course at one of the ranges here. And then, again, I mean, I've been firing using guns with you and then taking your courses to get my concealed carry. And, you know, I don't know if you having your husband as your instructor is the best thing, but I know he's the best instructor around. So, therefore, you know, I'll just grin and bear it. And I understand that as a new shooter, there are a few things that I do wrong, and he does not hesitate to call me on it. So I guess that's a good thing.
So husbands are for the, if I can bring men back into the mix just for a moment. A lot of times I'll get husbands who will ask me to teach their wives or girlfriends, significant others, because it's difficult for them because they flat out say, well, they don't listen to me when I'm trying to teach them. So I'm kind of wondering, since I'm your instructor, Linda, do you listen to me at all, or I'm just throwing that out?
Only when we're talking about guns, Dan, you know, the professional that you are, I'll definitely listen to you then.
Okay. I will take that one on the chin. But and moving along as well. So so you have had the occasion to take a number of different classes in a class and type environment. So what you're
yes.
telling me, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Very good. Becky, what kind of handgun classes or long gun classes or any kind of classes you've taken for guns?
The only one I've taken was concealed carry, and that's been recently, of course, with you.
Oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. So tell me what you liked about that class, and be gentle. What you liked about the class, or what you disliked about the class? Yeah, we're all, you know, good people here.
Sure. Well, it was just my husband and myself there, and that was great because we you know, we had your full attention, your sense of humor, and you were very thorough, Dan, very knowledgeable, and so we appreciate your expertise, and it was a really good thing. I learned a lot.
Very good. So you and your husband have started the process to get your permits, and of course, you know, I've got listeners from all over the United States and elsewhere. In mm-hmm. your particular area of Western North Carolina, how long did they say it would take once you were able to apply? Approximately how long did they say it was going to take to get your permit to carry?
Well, unfortunately, they said it could be 4 months.
Wow. Well, that is unfortunate. And it's not like that, being a I am an instructor for North Carolina for the concealed carry. Not like that across the board, and it's unfortunate that some areas, of course, you know, largely due to population and the amount of people mm-hmm. applying for a permit. But, ladies, be grateful you don't live in the state of New York, because then it can take you anywhere from 6 to 18 months to get a concealed carry permit up there. If you get a concealed carry permit, sometimes you only get a gun permit, and it's not a full carry permit. So, you know, there you have it. Danica, tell me about any kind of, you know, classes that you may have taken for firearms.
Well, initially I went straight in to take a concealed carry class in the Asheville area. It was a pretty large class. There were a lot of people. It was pretty scary for me. I actually almost left. It was
wow.
just too much noise, and, yeah, I didn't have a clue. I mean, in the class when we were talking about, you know, 22 bullets and this and that, what kind of gun do you think might use it? I had no clue. Like I said, I had shot one round in my whole life before going to my concealed carry class. So it was a little bit scary. But then after I got through that class, my husband and I went to the range. We did some training just on our own. And then we took a class with Alan Kay. He has Alan Kay Survival. And mm-hmm. that was really helpful. We did some training just to see that you can't always just rely on a gun, that you have to have a certain number of feet to be able to even use that. I think I erroneously thought if you have a gun, then, you know, you're safe, but you need to have a few other tools in your belt as well. And then after training with Alan, we've trained with you, and that's been great. I like you're so patient, and I had, like I said, been a new shooter, and I did not shoot for a little while. I got a little freaked out, and I just told you everything. Oh, I'm so nervous, Dan, and you just took it in stride and made me feel very comfortable. And, you know, I just think that's awesome, and I've learned so much from you, and we look forward to actually doing more training with you.
I appreciate that. Of course, for the listening folks out there, I did not pay any one of these ladies to say any of that whatsoever, especially my wife, although I did tell her the check's in the mail earlier.
I was just going to say that. You told me the check was in the mail.
maybe it got lost. I'm not real sure here. But no, I didn't.
Right.
I didn't pay any of you, but I had had the blessing, and I will say it is a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing for me to take anyone out, but it's been a blessing for me to at least share the range and maybe to share some of the knowledge or skills of shooting with each of you. And I look forward, whether it's through the Western North Carolina Shooting Club that we run here with Tap Three Times, or if it's, you know, some prepper survival zombie apocalypse type shoot that under Danica wants to attend, you know, anything along that lines, you know, we'll do. I think we're going to have one up in Burnsville there, have an apocalyptic shoot or something like that going on maybe in the near future, maybe this fall or maybe in the spring. But anyway, go on with that. So, you know, I appreciate all that. And what's great about it is that, you know, for the three of you who have different mm-hmm. levels of experience, that you've sought out some type of instruction to better yourself or for gun safety, for, you know, knowledge of the gun and for self-protection. Well, let's talk about self-protection for a second. And then we'll maybe get into some accessories and such as that, with the firearms and what you might be looking for there. And let me start with Danica this time, and I'll work it back around, Linda and then Becky. Danica, you not only worked to achieve some type of perfection with your handgun, and practice we all know is important, but keeping that in mind, that's, and you mentioned tools a moment ago. There are other tools that you use for self-protection, and can you tell me about that, whether it's hands, feet, or knife, or anything along that line that you've worked on training yourself in?
Well, I carry a knife, an everyday carry knife as well. It's just for self-protection. It's a really nice knife, so I don't want to cut boxes open. On occasion I have, though, if there's nothing nearby. But I just, you know, it's like everything else. When I get dressed, I put that on. And I've taken some other courses as well, different martial arts, Krav Maga, and some different instructors in the Asheville area. So that was the takeaway that I got from Alan, was that you really need to have a few other tools in your belt, and you can't just rely on gun training. You have to be able to get to that point, even if you ever had, if you needed more self-protection. So I just feel very confident the more training that I get, and I do intend on, you know, taking more courses.
Very good. For the listeners that don't know, Danica, could you explain just a little bit about everyday carry?
Carry are just things that you carry on your person on a daily basis. For me, when I, you know, get dressed, I think about the day. I don't know, if my car would break down, what sort of shoes do I have on? I always make sure that if I've got cute little heels on, that I have the great comfortable tennis shoes in the car with me. I have to drive quite a bit to get our daughter to school, so I always think about things that I would need in the car if I would be stranded on the side of the road. If you had to get out and walk, just so that I feel comfortable and could take care of us. So, you know, water, food, different things like that. But the everyday carry is the knife that I carry. I have a little lighter. I have a little flashlight. So if I'm in the dark, very often where I live on the mountain, there is no outside lighting because I don't want light pollution. So I like to use my little flashlight to get into my house to make sure there's no snakes on the driveway. So just helpful things like that.
Yeah, no snakes, no bears, no coyotes. Yeah, I understand. So it's great. It's great to have the everyday carry. Linda, tell me about maybe some other kind of training that you've done self-defense wise.
Well, in Canada, you and I owned a karate studio, and we had it was quite a big studio, actually. We had several people. I was teaching the children white belt up to green, and you had your other instructors teaching the older children and the adults. But I've learned a lot with my karate. I think I'm very capable of being able to take care of myself that way. I also carry a knife in my bag. I have rabbit ears on my keychain, and if you don't know what rabbit ears are, they're metal. It's like a what do you call those, brass knuckles? It's like a brass knuckle, but it's got two little ears, and it looks like a little rabbit. And you insert your hand into it, and that can do major damage. And that's on my keychain all the time. Also, I have a big old can of bear spray. That I tell you, if there's a bear around, he's going to get it before I have to shoot him. I'll try the bear spray. So I have bear phobia, by the way. And then just like Danica said, just prepare for your, you know, if you're going anywhere, prepare for the worst. Prepare if you have to get out and walk, things like that. I don't. Now that I'm retired, I don't wear high heels, and things like that. And even, you know, I've always got my flat shoes on, but in the wintertime, I'll always carry an extra pair of boots or something warm. But apart from that, I think that's with the karate especially, and that was courtesy of you. It really helps. I have a non-fear of a lot of things now that I used to fear before. So I think I could take care of myself and you if necessary.
I've watched you fight. I'm sure that you can. And I'm still, and just to let you know, I'm still looking for that Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman holster for your bear spray. So I'm still looking for it. Just
to
let you know that.
Put it on my leg. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I need it on
so
my
you can
because it's hard
put
to get out of
put
my
a tactical hole on your thigh. Yeah, there as well. So Becky, have you had any additional training, or do you carry anything else? Any tools or anything that you might need for self-defense?
I have not had any other defensive training. I am working on core strengthening on my own, but hope to be able to branch out and take some other defensive training. I have also met Alan Kay, and Danica, you're blessed. You got to take a course with him. I'd be interested in looking into that, and, of course, more gun training with you, Dan. I do carry some things with me every day. The shoes are important. It's interesting the ladies talk about them, and I'm with Linda. I hardly ever wear a heel anymore just because I'm all about comfort, but it has to be pretty. So anyway, if I wear a heel at all, it might be a pair of boots that I have that are about an inch and a half or sandals in the summertime, but that's about all I'll go because it's just not good for us. It's not good for our backs, and like I said, comfort is really important to me, but I do like the cute
bedazzle your running shoes, Becky.
There you go. I am into, I do a lot of walking, and the neighborhood we do live in has really challenging hills. I basically we're on a ridge, and it was a farm at one point, but it's very challenging, and so that helps with my endurance, and this time of year, especially, it's a great time of year to do 4 miles a day or so. That's a good cardio workout for me.
And that's great to know. And you talked about your core work, and I know Linda does things with the YMCA with her water aerobics and her, I call it Tai Chi-Z, but she does a Tai Chi program as well. The Krav Maga that Danica talked about, all of that's very important. So, you know, it's not always about the gun. Ladies and gentlemen who's listening in, it's about self-protection and self-awareness and being able to use the tools that you do have with your everyday carry to be able to protect yourself and like that. Ladies, we've got about 8 minutes left, and so I want to talk about accessories just for a moment. I know ladies like to accessorize, and I heard about heels and stuff like that. I personally don't have any experience with heels, and I'm very thankful for that. But
that's
a good thing. So let's talk about some accessories with maybe holsters or mag holders or methods of carrying. I mean, if you haven't carried concealed yet, you know, are you an on-body type carry with a holster? Are you thinking about off-body carry with a purse? You know, tell me a little bit more. You got about 2 minutes each. Go ahead, Linda.
I don't want to use a purse to carry my gun. I'm always under the assumption that if someone's going to attack you, they're going to take your purse. And where is your gun? It's in your purse. And by the time you try and get it out, I don't think that. I think I would rather have it on my person that I would be able to reach around to get it. I have a beautiful little holster that was made for me by a friend of ours in New York when we lived up there, and it's the same color as my gun, and he's made me two mag holders, and they clip on the outside of my pants because I only wear a belt with my jeans, and I don't wear a lot of jeans, so I have it clipping on the outside, and it's in a perfect spot that I can reach it because I have bad shoulders. So for me, the the carry, the purse is a no for me. I haven't tried anything else as far as undergarment carrying. So, but I like the one that I've got. So that suits me just fine.
Very good. Becky?
I am still trying to decide what to do with this. Of course, I don't have my license yet. But I do agree with Linda that I think it probably would be best to carry the gun on my person. And I hope I can find something that's comfortable, that really works for me, because I think that's important. However, that being said, I've been to some gun shows with friends and with my husband, and I've seen some beautiful stuff out there as far as the bags. I just can believe almost the artwork as far as the leather work that was on these bags. They're just incredibly beautiful and a great accessories if you do want to carry another weapon other than one on your person.
Absolutely, absolutely. Danica, you got about a minute and a half, if you would, to add something to it.
Yes, I have a whole slew of accessories, which sort of one by one I've kind of found different things didn't work. So I've still sort of struggled with that. I have a newest holster from Alien Gear that I like because you can change the cant with that. I have an inside the waistband holster, but I'm wondering if maybe an outside holster might serve me better. It's just the object of how I'm going to dress around that. Probably like most women, I'm not really willing to bend a whole lot around dressing around the gun, which I think is probably necessary. I know guys can wear like a t-shirt and then like an open shirt over it. Easy peasy done. But so I'm still struggling a little bit with what am I going to do to be able to wear the gun. Unfortunately, I've been carrying it in the purse. I have, you know, the gun holster purses, but I also see that that's probably not the best place to carry it.
It absolutely needs to be a go-to zone. It needs to be the same gun. Once you pick the right gun for you, it needs to be the same gun. It needs to be a go-to zone. If you're going to carry it in the purse, you need to practice with the purse. If you're going to carry it on body carry, you need to keep it in the same location all the time, get the right holster, get the right method of carry. It is more difficult for ladies to find the right clothing to go with it. As you're carrying because of the styles of the clothes, and I understand and realize this. Of course, we could talk so much more in respect to all of the information that is out there for ladies, and I'll probably do a part two at a later time, and hopefully you ladies will be able to join me for that at some other time. We're coming up to about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Any parting, you got about 30 seconds each. Any parting thoughts about women with guns? Linda?
I just like to say that I think a lot of women shy away from guns because they're afraid of it. It's the unknown. But I really encourage everybody, every woman, to get out there and at least try it, because you just never know this day and age when you're going to have to protect yourself or protect your family or protect your home. So that's all I can say, is get out there and try it.
Thank you, Linda. Becky, would you like to add to that, please?
You know, life is uncertain, and if you love life, love your family, your pets, you want to be able to protect your home, it really is necessary. The world can be scary. Every day we hear things in the news, you know, that people are facing harmful situations. So I do think it's important for really every citizen to consider concealed carry and progress with that.
Danica, right? You got about 20 seconds.
I just feel like it's very empowering. Once I have gotten my concealed carry, I feel very confident knowing that I can take care of my family or my daughter if my husband's traveling out of town. And the other takeaway I've learned is that shooting is a diminishing skill, and in order to stay on top of it, you really need to get in there and practice. Other than just your training with wherever you're going or with whoever you're training with, you need to just go on your own and practice just to continue feeling confident and to be proficient at what you're doing.
Absolutely. Ladies, you've been absolutely great today. Linda, Becky, Danica, I hope to have you back in the near future. Next week's show is going to be on gun appraisals, firearms appraisals. This is Dan Meadows with the Tap Three Times radio show. Ladies, I appreciate it. God bless you and have a great weekend. And everyone else, see you soon.